take a moment to thank all the many people that have helped bring me up here today, and to thank you as a congregation for inviting me to be an affiliated minister. I want to thank Dan for the lovely music, Kim for the great story, Dee for leading us in song, Reverend Leah for doing the welcome and the announcements, and my partner in this worship service, Marla, for walking with me as I prepared the service today. So thank you. So as you can already tell, since I've used two of Douglas's Wood's pieces in the service, I do think of him as a theologian. And I think that we all are theologians. Basically, theologian, and when we talk about theology and the exploration of that, it's how do we make meaning and purpose in our life? In this piece, he talks in a new way about a very old question. A question that humanity has carried from the beginning of time. Why do bad things happen, and what am I to do about it? Our foundation over time weathers. It gets broken. Pain and hot lava flow into us, bringing new elements that over time, like the quartz, will give life its color, its sparkle, and its beauty. I actually found Douglas Wood at a coffee house at the small college that I attended in northern Minnesota when I was 18 years old. He sang of protecting the wilderness. At that time, the boundary waters was being threatened. He sang of his love and his dreams for humanity. He spoke to both my head and my heart. The wilderness has always been my greatest spiritual healer, and I often go there. Paddle Whispers is a book in which he reflects about life's lessons that he drew on a pilgrimage as he was paddling through the boundary waters in northern Minnesota. In this first reading about intrusions, I found it to be very informative and an opening to talk to you about how I view life and how I view my ministry as a chaplain. Ministry as a chaplain is that of journeying with people as we experience the events that change the character and foundation of our life and our worldview. We humans have the capacity to break and to heal, to break and to heal, to break and to heal again. Whether it is through the interruptions of our daily routine or life-shattering events, we have choice about how we travel through this mystery of our pain. Like Douglas Wood said, I try to feel for what is important and what is not. To simplify like throw, to keep a clean, hard outcrop of bedrock beneath my feet, which is probably good. But the vein of rose quartz reminds me it is often the intrusions that give life its color, its sparkle, and its beauty. The intrusions that become part of our bedrock. The intrusions that, as they heal, make our foundation stronger than it was before. We choose when, if, and how we rebuild our foundations. To that end, I believe that within each of us is an internal compass that points us in the direction of life and survival. But like a magnetic compass, we can be pulled off course. When when painful things happen, we have the opportunity to correct our course. We have a tendency to seek individual recognition, and yet we thrive as part of a community. In the song Heathens, we were introduced to the complexity of the lives of people around us, whose depths we will only know if we open ourselves up. We learn that in a way, we are all heathens, responsible to weave our own fate by the actions we take in this life. We do this as we navigate the space between living a life of scarcity and living a life of abundance, while we seek acceptance and love. The song wakes us up to the fact that we often assume that those gathered around us in the venues of our choosing are similar to us. We often see the things we want to see, and when we hear the things we want to hear. But the song calls us past that. It calls us to taking time to see the reality of each person who you engage with. Over the years and over my lifetime, I have learned that pain is the great equalizer. It lets us know what it is that is truly of value, how we celebrate it, and how we grieve its loss. I believe that pain is also my greatest teacher. And through my learnings, I have learned how to be more compassionate in this world. We are born whole, and life breaks us time and time again. Life also gives us many blessings. And when these two processes are held in tension, we become resilient. My early childhood was spent in poverty. My mother separated from my dad, who was an alcoholic. He was a gentleman, but when he drank, he became violent and mean. Reflecting back now, I think he suffered from post-traumatic stress from World War II. He enlisted with his father's consent at age 16. My mother had an eighth grade education and worked as a CNA and a bar waitress to try to care for her three children, and she was barely able to keep a roof over our head. Thanks to welfare and ADC, which is Aid to Dependent Children, we were able to eat. She depended, though, on my dad, her boyfriends, occasional relatives, and sometime paid babysitters to take care of us. Memories of those years from 4 to 7 are pretty sparse and are filled with many fractures, but also with elements that one day would lead to healing. These are the words that describe my childhood. Sexual abuse, shame, guilt, silence, reflective, violence, death, being hated because of the color of my skin, confusion, sensitivity, caring, helper, a loner, curiosity, wonder, energy, numbers, puzzles, and mysteries, the inability to read, and more shame and a sense of defectiveness, judged, labeled, taunted. Twins baseball, I'm from Minnesota, of course. Secret forts, wrestling, trucks, tomboy. Messages that others give us. Feelings of being different, an outsider. love, acceptance, and insider, patience and presence, awe, gratitude, dreams, and hopes. When I was 7, my mother married Lyle. He was a 40-year-old bachelor Swedish farmer when he married this woman with 3 wild kids, and he became my hero. For once, we had a family. We had a home life. He gave me my grandmother, Jenny, and stability. And there was great love and great acceptance. Over the years, more fractures would occur, but I now have the space to rest and nourish my spirit, gathering strength for my journey. The fractures of my past were still present, but I rested during this time. I was able to collect the elements that would later allow me to confront the post-traumatic stress. With professional support and loved ones, I was able to cement my foundation into a solid whole that is even stronger than what it was before. Are the miracles that God made to taste the bitter fruit of time. We are precious. One day our suffering will turn into the wonders of the earth. James Hillman, a young scholar, Indian scholar, described life's spiritual journey as follows. Youth is a time of spirit. It is about climbing, striving for success, achieving. Midlife is the time of the soul. It is about descending into the depths to forge new values for the second half of life. Despite all the challenges of my youth, and I want you to take note, I've reframed the word from cracks in our foundations to challenges. I do believe that we are all miracles that God created and that our suffering will turn into the wonders of the earth. I am in midlife and I still have plenty of spirit within me, but I do spend more time doing soul searching, and some of my learnings are as follows. I do believe in the afterlife. By this I mean I believe our souls live on and continue to have influence on the generations that follow. I believe that we have one life to live and to live it now, that we must live it to the best of our ability, and we must partner with the great mystery, or what some folks call God. In order to live through and grow from the events that life and our humanity throw at us, we humans are the only species with the capacity to create our own suffering or salvation, our brokenness or wholeness, heaven or hell. We can choose to live in scarcity or to live in abundance. We live between these dualities. It is when we are able to bring our minds and our hearts together that we are able to learn the lessons through our pain and to sing our songs. There are things that burn me now which turn golden when I am happy. That we bear poverty and are able to sing and dream sweet things, and that we never curse the air when it is warm, or the fruit when it tastes so good, or the light that bounces gently on the water. We bless these things in our pain. We bless these things in our pain. We bless them in our silence. The greatest spiritual lesson that life has taught me is the power of gratitude in survival and healing. I do not know when I learned this lesson, but I do know that no matter how difficult things seem to be, when I can find at least one thing that I can be grateful for, I am able to handle the rest. Another essential component in solving the mystery of our pain is that of being in community. We form and need communities where we are able to contribute and who are there for us when we allow them in. The third component is the power of story and song to help us to remember and to remember, to re-see our lives so that we can transform our sorrows into strengths. The reality is, once again, that we have one life to live. I'm going to ask Marla to share a story. She shared this with me yesterday because this originally was going to be her first story, but she switched it up on me here.
So 8 years ago, I'm at a gathering, and the woman hosting the party sets down her whiskey to tell a story, and she's telling the story with her hands vigorously, and she's telling the story, and the whiskey glass goes flailing, and people in the room gasp, "The whiskey!" And she says, "Whiskey spills," and goes right on with her story. 8 years later, we still say, "Whiskey spills." Something happens, "Whiskey spills," and just keep right on going.
That's a great way to remember this whole sermon. Life is messy and whiskey spills. But we have the power to choose how we interpret it. We have the ability to make meaning out of each and every moment. Things will burn us, and over time, they will turn golden. We have choice about when we need to act, when we need to let go, and when we can, and that we can and must move towards life. With all of this in mind, for me it was a good thing that I didn't marry until I was 45. By then I had learned many of my lessons. I'm still learning lots, but I had learned many of my lessons on how to be myself and how to be a partner. We started off as friends and then fell in love. She was a wonderful woman who was as bullheaded and stubborn as I was, which is a good thing. But together, we learned the fine art of collaboration, evolution, and transformation in relationship. She was a woman that I fell more and more in love with each year. Some of you may have met her. She was good friends with Roger, and she came up here for several things. She was the Reverend Georgette Wonders. On April 8th of 2014, she was involved in a single car accident. And her life ended on April 11th. She was a dynamic force in the light of my life for almost 14 years. We woke up together on the morning of the 8th, and that night, the woman I knew was gone, and what was left was her shell. My world was shattered. The pain was immense within me. The pain was immense within her family and friends, our church and the larger Kenosha community. For 6 months, there was a deep emptiness within me. My loss and my grief. But I knew I had to carry on with life. So I did it step by step, and pretty mechanically in the beginning. But one thing, I never asked why. Because I knew deep inside that life happens. I cannot change what happened. I must feel my way through it, though, and always move forward with the strength and guidance that I gleaned from our time together. I now can sing her song. I can sing our song. And I am learning to love again. I did much better with that story this time around. This is, as I shared with the first group, this is the first time I've been in the pulpit and the first time I've shared that story since her death. I too have heard the dead sing, and they tell me that life is good. They tell me to live it gently, with fire, and always with hope. There is wonder here, and there is surprise. In everything, the unseen moves. The ocean is full of song. The sky is not our enemy, and destiny is our friend. When we give ourselves to destiny, we feel tremendous awe and great humility. This is not ego or pride or a grandiose delusion about our gifts or about saving the world. Rather, it is a quiet celebration of the heart. Of a heart that has finally found itself. It is in the grateful humility of the prodigal soul that we have finally come home.